Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl.
Hello, ballers, and welcome to the SC Ballers Thursday Q&A podcast heading into round six. As you may have picked up, this isn't Matt or Jono in your ears. I am the man they call Producer Gramsy. And with the way I'm going this year, I'm far from an expert. So with me today to bring some sense to your Supercoach situations is 2014 third place finisher Danny Boy Ricks. Dan, how are you today?
Yeah, g'day Gramsy. I'm very well. Good to have you on board for your first hosting gig. Very excited. I mean, you must be pretty excited here. You're an avid Supercoach lover.
Yeah, mate. The only claim to fame I have is, you know, finishing in the top 200 once in my Supercoach career. You're currently ranked 900th, so right up there in the hunt.
Very happy. This year, yeah, a bit better this year than the last few years. Just can't seem to pip Matty Boy though. He's had a few good years, and each week he just seems to be creeping a bit further away from me. So hopefully can catch him soon enough.
Mate, I'm playing against him in one of my draft leagues, and he's winless. So, you know, he's not good at everything. So he has his foibles. So, but he's nailing it. I see he's winning in the Podmasters Cup draft league. He had a win this week.
So he seems to have a good drafter, Matty Boy, as well as the classics. How about your classic team? How's that going?
Yeah, I'm in the 17,000s somewhere. Had a couple of bad weeks, but looking to bounce back. Listening to your advice on the Thursday show really opened my eyes to things. So, looking forward to seeing how you can help with our community this week. We've got a few curly ones, and a big thank you to everyone who's hit us up on socials with their dilemmas. And a big thank you as well to anyone who has logged on to baller.live since the launch and provided feedback for our gurus making it happen. Dan, as you spoke about on the Tuesday pod, it is so fast. I was streaming a game last weekend on KO and the app was updating faster than KO's delay. And I've seen a few people say we need an option to slow it down. How have you seen it?
Jeez. Yeah, no, I'm on the Watch NRL app over here in London, and that is bang on. That's, it's like no delay whatsoever, which is good. The baller scores are coming up almost immediately. I think there's also further developments coming on as well. So I think the live updates down the bottom of it are getting really juiced up, play by play, stat by stat, that's coming in, which is nice. Some really good projections coming soon as well. I know people out there will see the projections that go on Supercoach website, but we're getting some projections, some real smart guys over at Baller HQ bringing in some, these projections with all these variables, you know, game times, weather, Nico's hair, wetness rating, anything you can think of that's going to affect Supercoach for the week, these projections are going to work on. And I think they're going to be adjusted with outs and ins for the team as they happen as well.
Yeah, well, as you said, more updates not far away, so keep an eye out for the next announcement. Better yet, register at baller.promo and get on our mailing list, and you'll be the first to know when these updates roll through. Well, let's get into the burning questions we're here to answer, touching on players like Nico Hines, Cam Munster, possibly potting up against them, surprise trade trend that's emerging, Ruben Garrick, and plenty more. So first up, we'll go to Joel from the Gong. Another question from Joel. Thoughts on bringing in Dylan Brown this week? He's currently got Jaden Campbell. Is it worth a shot potting against Munster despite his run coming up, or should we just get Munster? Not trading Campbell, going to bring in a second gun 5/8 to set and forget. Dan is anti-potting Munster, 79% owned in the top 1% with the Dylan Brown. Good idea?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to check up. 79% owned Cam Munster, top 1%. That's absolutely huge. I thought about bringing in Dylan Brown last week. I don't think it was close between him and Jaden Campbell, but also the price of them isn't that close either. You know, last week it was 120 grand up to Jaden Campbell. So across my mind, we very rarely see Dylan Brown in the 500s at all. And he's obviously jumped back up to 612K now. I think that's still a little bit of value for him. He looked a lot better last week. His connections with Iongi much improved. I think he's getting a little bit earlier, quicker ball with my man Junior Paulo playing really well up front and getting a bit more speed around the ruck. So I don't mind that, actually. I really like taking on Munster. I don't think Munster's hugely better than him historically either. You know, very similar stats last year, even very similar stats this year. Maybe Munster beating him in the creating stats a little bit more. Munster is going to get those creating stats, but I think Melbourne tend to share the points around. And you probably saw in the weekend, Gramsy, Munster very much took a back seat against Manly in that second half.
Yeah, as you say, he's a very consistent player, Munster, and he'll consistently get you good scores. Dylan Brown's had spike weeks on occasion, but I guess the Melbourne run coming up, for anyone who doesn't know, Warriors at home, Dolphins at Suncorp, South at home, Canberra at Suncorp, Tigers at home, and then Sharks, and then we get into Origin. So a very good run coming up for the next five games, two games in Queensland, three games at home. So they've almost got five home games.
Yeah, and big news with your Lomax out now for Para. I mean, he's obviously a great player, Lomax. I'm not exactly sure what it will do to their attack. I thought their attack was a little bit stifled because I just didn't know what they were trying to do with Lomax. Obviously, first playing center. Now he's gone to the wing. He was trying to float as a floating center. I don't think that was working that well. I think it was also not great for Iongi because he was getting in his road sometime. So it might be better for, I'm hoping, Iongi owners like myself, that Iongi becomes prime target number one in the 20 in the red zone. But yeah, and in terms of his card carries, his work in the air, and obviously his goal kicking while Moses is out, they're going to miss him in a few aspects there.
On to the next question from Philip from Canala. If you could only have one player, is it Pappy or Money?
So Pappenhauser versus Munster. It's a tough one because, I would say Pappenhausen right now. If I had the choice and I had to pick one up this week, I'd probably say Pappenhausen. It's just too juicy for him. Those fullbacks, I think you're picking a fullback most days against a 5'8 either. So in relative terms, who's going to score points? Who's going to score more points for the next 4 weeks? Simply put, is Pappenhausen.
Is it different if you're thinking long-term?
Long-term, even Pappenhausen. You got Munster having having the origin period. He's going to be definitely unavailable. Pappenhausen, maybe a smoky for the bench for New South Wales. I've heard a few whispers around that, but I'd say he's probably out of the side at this stage. So he's going to be playing regularly as long as he's fit and on the paddock. I just think it's more like Pappenhausen has a few rivals in the fullback position, so you could also go on. Munster, there's not much you can go against Munster with, and apart from the likes of Brown and Jaden Campbell. So, yeah, for me, it's Pappenhausen out of those two.
And Phil's got more for us. This time it's
good on you, Phil.
Hines or Hughes. We are obviously Hughes. Yeah, Hughes returned from injury last week with a 93. At home against the Warriors this week, who the Storm have beaten for the last 15 years or so. Hines disappointed owners last week. I read some fantastic analysis from the Rugby League eye test, if anyone follows, this week, that suggests, you know, Nico's not touching the ball as much. Last week was probably a bit of an outlier in terms of the lack of involvement compared to earlier games this season. And he seems to be staying on his side of the field, which is the right side, you know, where Britton Nicara has been having so much success. That analysis, well worth a read. Go check it out, Rugby League eye test. But Dan, what does that all mean to you when you're deciding between getting Hughes or Hines?
Yeah, so if that's the choice, I think most people, we covered it a little bit on Tuesday pod, you know, who's your number one target at halfback this week? I feel it's Nathan Cleary. So if you don't have Nathan Cleary, he's the first one to pick out out of those guys. But if you have Nathan Cleary already, I think those two are the options. And I would probably say, again, just you covered it with Melbourne's run, Jerome Hughes is probably the option there. They're very similar priced, high 700Ks. And, yeah, from a Sharks fan perspective, I do not like what I'm seeing with Nico not touching the ball. Brayley really only has eyes for Trindle. Obviously, Trindle's got a sort of a great high kick, a great bomb. I think even though, you know, he's got that kick, they're still looking to him a lot in attack. Trindle's popping up even on the right-hand side as well. So, yeah, not great signs. Hopefully they turn it around because Sharkies have lost a few on the trot now, so they're gonna need to pick up something.
Yeah, well, as a Hines owner, I was obviously one of the disappointed ones last week, so hoping he changes it up. But, yeah, you never know. Sharks might have a few off games. But then again, I was just thinking Hughes, maybe with all those, you know, cooks in the Melbourne kitchen, does that mean his ceiling's maybe capped?
No, I don't think so. I think he can really go off. We saw it last year. He can go on a real hot streak. You know, and saying that Hines is going to be very stable, I think we've just got to temper those expectations that he's just going to be playing Nico ball this year where it's just hands-on every single touch in the 20. He's going to still score well. I think he'll still average 70-plus quite easy. We saw him against the Bulldogs get a 60, and that was a very tough watch, but he still pushed out a 60 the week after. Tough game in Canberra, still punches out a 48. So we're kind of seeing his floor around that 40 to 60 mark, and we know he's still got the tons in him. So I wouldn't ride out Hines. I definitely wouldn't switch over Hines to Hughes. But if the choice is purely get one of them, I'd probably lean to Hughes this round.
And last one from Phil. We did cover this a bit in the Tuesday pod, so we can keep this one short. Go check it out at length. You know, the Tuesday pod, we talk about Ruben Garrick. But, yeah, hold or sell, Dan?
Yeah, I think hold. Hold for now. It depends how aggressive you want to be. If you're doing all right, if you're just looking to structure and balance out your squad, I don't think Garrick is a sell at all. He's going to be an endgame center wing. You know, I've got him as the top two center wings for the rest of the year. You definitely want him before round 12. They do have a tougher run coming up and a bye in round 9, I think it is. But he's going to be back there in round 12. So it costs you two trades. You know, he may get down to 700K, but he's got the potential to hang around 750, even go back to 800 at some stage. So hold on for as long as you can, as long as you've got team balance around it.
Are you selling?
No. No, I thought I flirted with it. I definitely flirted with it. I've come to my senses now, just very stock standard trades. We might get onto them a bit later.
Well, I've decided I'm going to get rid of him. I've got to catch up. Oof. I've got a lot of catching up to do to you guys.
Sure.
Making me feel like an inferior super coach in your league, other than Tubes, who I'm in front of.
I think, I'd like to ask you a question there, Gramsy, then. If you're dropping him, are you bringing in another premium, or are you generating a huge amount of cash with maybe a cheapie or a price, or a cash generator?
No, I'm bringing in another premium. I'll tell you later in our chat who that is. Because he's a subject of great debate, especially in the top 1%. So stay tuned for that one, guys.
Interesting.
We'll move on to a question about trade strategy here. This one comes from Jacob on the SC Ballers 5K League chat. The league code there is 730444 if you haven't joined yet. So, Dan, how far ahead do you plan your trades, and who do you have your eye on in the next few weeks?
Oh, yeah, I'm very much into planning trades. At this time of year, it's really, really difficult because priority number one is that generating that cash and getting to your best team as quick as possible. So I've always got my eye on premiums who are dropping, and potentially you can afford them in the next few rounds. And then obviously the cheapies that are popping up. So it's very difficult to plan on who that's going to be, because obviously you've got a lot of center wingers who might pop with a, you know, a two or three try haul, and then they're definitely on the cards next week. So I'd say in terms of planning your trades right now for this, these early rounds, you're probably only thinking one round ahead. I'm a big fan of using all the cap as well, so trying to spend all the money. I hate holding money in the bank on my bench doing nothing. I feel like if you're holding 400, 500K, that's nearly like you've got a player on the buy, basically, a decent player. So I like to use all my cash, and then I probably only hold a bit of cash if I'm anticipating a definite buy for the next week. So yeah, probably one round ahead at the moment. That all changes with Origin period. Origin period, I get my spreadsheet out. I try to do basically from about round 11 onwards to about round 17 and look at the potential trade targets for those rounds, because obviously the buy swings are really big there. So, and you kind of know the Origin stars that are going to be out for you, and you need to work out, can you get at least 13 players playing each week? So that's when your trade planning goes, you know, 3, 4, 5 rounds into ahead of yourself. So I would definitely recommend, maybe Baller website might have a bit of a trade planner for the buy period coming up in the future weeks. So what about yourself, Gramsy? How are you with the planning?
Actually had a look yesterday at how I'm shaping up for round 12, and I think I've got a lot of Origin players this year, and I think that's something that people are going to find a little bit different, I guess, to previous years. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this spreadsheet, though. Nothing beats a good old spreadsheet. I love what the people at the Baller HQ are doing, but nothing like a good old-fashioned spreadsheet, mate.
Yeah, you should have seen the ones going around in 2014. That's when you had to, you know, basically you had 17 players playing each week. It was very difficult to get 17 through the whole bye period. So that's when it was even more vital, trying to get 15, 16 players on the pitch. The other thing I'd say is probably being fluid through the round a little bit as well. Say if a big injury hits, say if you know that you're going to have to trade someone out the following week because they get struck down or they're going to lose a lot of cash, you've got to be a bit fluid with the trades as you go. So factoring that in, I try to work out sort of the cash that's being generated for those players before it updates on the Monday. And I also say if I've got a VC and they go off, they go really well, then I know that I only need strength for the 16 players. I wouldn't get that extra premium for that 17th spot or 18th spot this year, because I know that generally that's not as important because it might not be counting as much. So, yeah, you've got to be a bit fluid through the round as well.
I think that sounds like a strategy chat, a Baller blueprint for a Tuesday coming to you soon. But we'll move on. And look, this one's not from the Supercoach community, but it's actually something our very own Matt, coach of the Terrace Crew, 492nd rank, pointed out to me. And I think he is genuinely still in a state of shock. So help him out, Dan. I'll start by asking you, who do you think is the second most traded in player by the top 1% of coaches, behind Thomas Kant, of course?
Look, I don't know if the top 1% are the best 1% at the moment because it's so early, but I'd probably go for Dylan Egan, another cheapie.
Well, you're in it, mate, but you're an owner of this person. It's actually Clint Gutherson. I mean, he's going great guns and has the Titans this week. You and Matt both own. But what really blew Matt's mind is at the same time, 24% of super coaches are selling Kalyn Ponga. You would think a lot of them shifting him to Gutho. What's going on, Dan? Make it make sense.
What? I'm just checking up Gutho's price at the moment. It's 830K. Like he's, what's that, an 85 average? Something ridiculous like that. So you're bringing in Gutho and expecting him to go over that for the value?
He's averaging about 109.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's going unbelievable. I'm glad he's in my side. I really picked him up for that Parramatta game last week. And they do have Titans this week, which is another juicy run. you know, Gutho was running around on one leg last year. Like, how's that? I mean, unless there's been this miraculous recovery in his knee, I don't necessarily think it's sustainable to average 90 plus ongoing now. So picking him up, I think you're a bit late. You know, I picked him up a couple of weeks back at 680K. Yeah, like if he was around that 700 for sure. But Kalen Ponga, I mean, we know he's an out and out gun. He's got the Tigers this week. They've got an absolutely juiced up run. They play every game up until round 14, I think, now. I definitely wouldn't be making that trade.
Well, the Ponga sell-off, it makes me happy because he's someone I'm bringing in this week at Ooh. The expense of Ruben Garrick. And I'll probably have the C on him. As much as I hate having the captain on someone on the last game on Sunday, almost as much as I hate having the captain on the first game of the round on a Thursday. But come to think of it, I don't really like having captains at any time of the round because it's just too much stress. Strange happenings. Yeah, strange happenings there. But as you said, maybe the top 1% is still filtering out at the moment. I mean, I'm not in there yet, so how legitimate can it be? And I've got, you know, I found out 2.7% of them are selling AFB, who you think is pretty much a buy this week. Or
100%. 100%.
2.3% are selling Shibasaki with a minus 2 BE. And 2.3% are ditching Fletcher Sharp, who, was a pot of the week that I think Matt nominated this week. So, I don't know, it must be a full moon or something. Any thoughts?
I have no idea. Like, I love Fletcher Sharp. If anyone's watched him this year, he's an absolute jet. Still scored 42 against the Dogs and didn't do much at all. Like, I think he's in for a massive year. I would nearly be boosting for someone like Fletcher Sharp this week if I didn't already have two knights in my roster. So I am not huge on picking up like three or four players in the backs from the same team. I just don't think the points can be spread that well. I think you've got to really jag one or two and hopefully they're the guys that are getting the points. But certainly if you don't have many knights, I think Fletcher Sharp is a budget Kalen Ponga basically this week. And I think he could certainly average 80 plus for the next four. So Shibasaki, just very silly if you own him. I don't even own him. I nearly bought him last week. Why would you sell with a minus two? He's playing the Roosters. He's shown great potential. I'd hold him for one more week and then look to upgrade some of these falling premiums next week in the likes of Herbie Farnworth. Really like him as a pod. And even Jacob Carraz is available next week. So just hold your horses on that one.
Yeah, well, if Shibasaki turns up, of course, he had his breakout game. I think it was 83 in round one against the Roosters. So if he can turn up again, then, you know, he'll be good for another couple of weeks. And, you know, maybe you can turn him into Dylan Lucas. That's certainly someone who I've got my eye on. But I guess that's another... I'll give you a question without notice. How many knights can you have? Because, you know, there's players like Ponga. Obviously, he's going to be playing Origin, though, so maybe you can have him until then and sell him off. But then Sharp, I've got Bradman Best. I've been pretty happy with his output. Greg Marzu, Thomas Cant, you never know, he might jag a starting spot somewhere just with his form. Dylan Lucas, I don't know if I already said him, but there seems to be a lot of relevant Newcastle players when, you know, maybe last year and the year before that, we were almost in the no knights brigade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not as good as they were when they went on that, was it last year or the year before they went on that hot streak? I think they won 10 in a row or something, 11 in a row knights to make the finals. I think you can definitely just pick up Cant this week. I think it's a great buy. If you've then got Lucas, that's fine as well. Like the relevance, they're basically fixture proof, you know, the forwards in the back row. If Lucas comes back and plays center, I definitely wouldn't be picking him up. And then I think maximum he could really go is three backs of the Knights. So to answer your question, you say max would be five. I wouldn't like that looking at my side. Four, you could maybe do it at a push, and I'd say... Yeah, probably two backs and then Cant and Lucas. probably doesn't make much sense. But yeah, that's what I'm going for with your question there.
And last one, Dan, this one's hard hitting, so be prepared. It's a question from Dom on Instagram. Where does Dan get his jumpers from?
Yeah, I know that Dom. I think he's the bloke who wears his sports coats and pocket squares and thinks he looks good. I think that bloke.
Yeah, I'm about 10,000 spots ahead of him in Supercoach too.
Look, strong opinions, strong fashion from Dom. Answers questions: Uniqlo, are they Japanese quality? Wouldn't say quite, but Eastern European prices. We'll go for that here in London. Shibasaki, big fan of the Uniqlo. I know that. Thanks for that, Dom.
All right, so I think that's just about all the questions we've got for this week. So Dan's very much in favour of getting some pods. You know, Dylan Brown, Fletcher Sharp, you know, one of the best buyers of the week. Jerome Hughes, you know, he's a pod compared to Nico Hines. I think 8% owned is Jerome Hughes, 22% Nico. So a few things there. Hopefully we've set a few people's heads right about trading Ponga to Gutho. Find another way to Gutho if you really want him. But in a few weeks' time, you're probably going to be selling him anyway. So, yeah, well, good luck with your trade decisions this week. Just as a reminder before we finish off. Well, Dan, actually, talk us through your trades this week.
So I was looking at boosting for someone like Herbie, potentially getting Garrick out of the side, but that was only a fleeting idea. So I've gone back to the blueprint now. Thomas Cant and Siwa Wong are my two trade-ins this week. I can't quite afford Eli Katoa with two trades. I would have to boost for him. I'm not against anyone bringing him in. I think he's absolutely going to kill it the next few weeks. High price compared to some of these other guys. Eli Katoa at 750K. Siwa Wong, we're potentially going to see him play 80 minutes. I think he's going to average 65 plus, so he's a bit of value there. Roosters have a good buy period, so I do like him. I think he is also under traded in this week. I was looking at the stats. So I don't mind that not many are bringing him in at his current price, and very much well done to owners who picked him up at low 300s to start the year. But yeah, I'm going to skip Egan. I think one to look out for is Savala in the 2RF halfback position, playing halfback for the Roosters this week. If he goes well next week, he averaged around 60 in reserve grade in Supercoach points. So he could be a big pickup. So I'm going to avoid Egan here this week and maybe pick someone like that up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, off the top 1%, 61% are getting Cant, so he's a no-brainer. 23% getting Elias Katoa, so big moves happening among that top 1%. A reminder to follow the live Supercoach scores this weekend at baller.live. That's BALLR.live. And follow us on our social channels. Leave a review on whatever podcast service you're listening on. Maybe just discount this one if you don't like my hosting. Think about Matt and Jono when you're putting that 5-star review in. And shout out to everyone who sent in their questions. Make sure you keep them coming in every week. We'll be doing this Q&A podcast on a Thursday, recording in the morning. It'll be out by lunchtime, so you can have all your Supercoach questions answered. So keep up the curly ones for Dan and Matt and whoever we'll have on to answer them. They'll certainly be an expert. Maybe we can get C-Mac on. He's up in 28th spot and on fire. So cards close to his chest, though. Just doesn't want to, you know, let anyone too close.
He's doing his strategy this year is keeping it loose and breezy. He's not overthinking it too much. Kind of looks at the trades a bit later. He watches a lot of football. I think that's probably the number one tip for Supercoach out there. You've got to watch the games or at least the extended highlights to see these players play. And I mean, you probably mentioned it, but the Sunday snap really covers the weekly wrap on a Sunday with Tubes and Jono. They do a great job digesting the week's games, like one by one, sort of going through it. And I really like that because it goes through who they think potentially is going to explode in the next few weeks. I think there, if you're looking for pods, you've got to base it on the form and you've got to look at, are they under their expected value and are they people that people and no one are really thinking about and they haven't had that big score. It's very easy to trade someone in like Gutho who scores 130, but it's harder to trade someone in like Kalen Ponga who gets a 30, but you know he's going to bounce back like yourself, Gramsy. So I'm pretty impressed with that trade strategy you got. And yeah, very impressed with your hosting this week, mate. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I believe in Kalen, the coming Queensland fullback this year, hopefully as a Queensland fan. As much as I love the Broncos and Reece Walsh, wouldn't mind him sticking around during the Origin period. But anyway, enough about me. Yeah, hopefully everyone, you know, can have a good week, and I'm not in a bowl of tears that Tubes is referring to on the Sunday snap. Definitely tune in there. But yeah, thanks everyone. Hopefully we answered some questions there, and good luck this week.
Cheers, guys.